The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to go to page 8 and our last line of Who's Who in Sports. We're going to begin with Jalen Waddle, Miami Dolphins wide receiver. His height is 5'10". His weight is 182 pounds. He was born November 25th, 1998, in his hometown, Bel Air, Texas. Through six games in 2022, Waddle averaged 17.8 yards per reception, good for fifth in the NFL. The previous year, he set the league record for most catches by a rookie with 104. In college, Waddle was a teammate of his current Miami quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, at Alabama, and he helped the Tide to the 2020 national title. But did you know before Waddle broke the record, the mark for catches by a rookie was held by Anquan Boldin, 101 in 2003. Next, we have Moritz Seider, Detroit Red Wings defenseman. His height is 6'4". His weight is 197 pounds. He was born April 6th, 2001, in his hometown, Zell, Germany. In his first season with the Red Wings, Seider led all NHL rookies in assists, 43, and was fourth in points, 50. He was awarded the Calder Trophy as the league's top first-year player. Seider was named the best defenseman at the 2021 World Championships, where he helped lead Germany to a fourth-place finish. But did you know that the Calder Trophy is named for Frank Calder, who was the president of the NHL from its inception in 1917 until his death in 1943? Saki Baba, amateur golfer. Her height is 5'9". She was born April 25th, 2005, in her hometown, Tokyo, Japan. At age 17, Baba strolled to the United States women's amateur title, closing out the final 36-hole match with 9 holes to play. She defeated Monet Chun, who plays for the University of Michigan, to become the second player from Japan to win the tournament. Baba is currently the number 4 ranked amateur in the world. Did you know, though, the field for the 2022 United States Women Amateur, which was open to any player with a handicap of less than 5.4, was composed of 1,497 players? Whew! That's a bunch. Some things you may have forgotten. Let's go back to page 9. Accusations require proof. Above board, Champ Mangus Carlson on the center doesn't want to play with Hans Niemann on the right, whom he considers a cheat. Finally, a hot take about chess. Wait. Don't turn the page. It's also about cheating in poker and baseball. I'm filling in for Kip this issue. 5 years after the Astros lowered the bar for crude cheating with their trash can banging scheme, accusations of high-tech subterfuge have rocked the world's brainiest sports. Unlike with the Astros, however, these scandals started before any shocking revelations have come to light. What's the right thing to do when you think someone's cheating, but you can't prove it? In September, Mangus Carlsen, the chess world champion, pulled out of Singapore Cup in St. Louis after losing in the third round to American Hans Niemann. The Norwegian grandmaster had never left the tournament in such a manner and addressed his departure by tweeting a classic meme, soccer manager Jose Mourinho saying, "If I speak, I'm in big trouble." The chess world quickly took Carlsen's behavior to be an accusation. The 19-year-old Niemann had admitted to previously cheating in online play. likely by consulting an engine which calculates the best possible move in any possible situation. But cheating in an in-person or over-the-board game is much harder. A player on a computer can just tab over to the browser window with the engine open. In a big tournament, a player would have to place a device somewhere on their body that would tell them the best move by basically vibrating in Morse code. The chess world broke into two factions, those who trusted Carlsen's expertise as the GOAT, and those who wanted concrete statements and not social media's insinuations. Then Carlsen inflamed the situation when, facing Nerman again in an online tournament later that month, he conceded the game after just two moves. Finally, on September 26th, Carlsen tweeted a statement about his behavior. And though the letter further implied Nerman had cheated, his over-the-board progress has been unusual, it provided no evidence that he had, nor a hypothesis on how he could have. Was chess's greatest player just sore he lost to some teenager? If you believe someone is innocent until proven guilty, how can you not be disappointed in Carlsen's behavior? The problem is that the better someone understands chess, the more likely they'll take Carlsen at his word, and it has nothing to do with being a fan. There rarely is a smoking gun in chess cheating. Extra bishops don't fall out of the offender's shirt sleeves. Usually an expert player can suss out the use of an engine based on how often and how quickly someone arrives at the optimal possible moves. It takes a great player to spot the difference between high-level play and impossibly high-level play. Since Carlsen is the top-rated player of all time, he is the de facto expert on where that line sits. But how can an expert be objective when he is also an alleged victim? The question came up again in September when poker pro Garrett Adelson asked for his money back from another player, Robbie J. Liu, who beat him on an unlikely hand. To make a long story short, Liu made a series of aggressive bets that Adelson found inexplicable after he learned what cards she had. Her behavior seemed irrational in hindsight, but she won the hand. Like Carlsen, Adelson released a social media statement implying Liu had cheated. This accusation was even flimsier than Carlsen's. In chess, making random bad moves will surely lead to a loss. In poker, the cards can bail someone out. It's possible Liu just messed up and got lucky. She did, however, give the money she won from the hand to Adelson, further confusing the issue. Did she feel guilty? Or did he, a more famous player, bully her into giving back her winnings? There's no reason to think Carlsen or Adelson is just a sore loser. More likely, they both think they're using their platform to protect the sport they love from the scourge of high-tech cheating. Fédération Internationale des Échecs, FIDE, the Switzerland-based governing body of competitive chess, has announced an investigation into Nerman. If he gets caught, is Carlsen also a hero? Imagine if a suspicious pitcher in the early 1990s had headed off the worst of Major League Baseball's steroid scandal by implying certain hitters had become a little too strong. Even in baseball, however, accusations without evidence are more trouble than they are worth. In October, facing elimination, the Mets asked the umpires to check the Padres' Joe Musgrove's ears for a ball-doctoring substance. The officials found nothing, and Mets manager Buck Showalter looked desperate, down for nothing. Mangus Carlsen is influential enough that he could have privately alerted FIDA of his suspicions after the game. These sagas are entertaining, but they don't make their sports any better off. What's in a name? X marks the spot. The Montreal Canadiens are all over hockey's record books, and now they've claimed another historic first. A player whose last name starts with an X. Rookie Arber Zhekaj earned that distinction when he made his debut against Toronto on October 12th. Zhekaj is of Albanian descent and has earned the name Wi-Fi from teammates who think his name looks like a random string of letters used in an internet password. The NFL got its first X-Man in 2019 in Giants outside linebacker O'Shane Zimenez. The only such Major League Baseball player was Lavilgildo Zix, who played 43 games in the Negro League in the 1940s. That leaves the NBA as the only remaining Big Four league without an X surname. The Mavericks drafted Zhu Yuyang in China. The family name customarily comes first, but he never made the jump to North America. The WNBA, however, has two X's: former Mercury guard Marta Zerge and current Liberty center Han Zhu. So for those keeping score at home, that's three active X's in the American pro sports and zero X-Men so far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Keep up, Kevin Feige. We have some December birthdays. December 5th, Real Sociedad striker Alexander Sorloff turns 27 years old. New York Mets first baseman Peter Alonso is 28 years old. And on the 14th of December, offensive lineman Rain, United States World National Tennis right back Sofia Huerta turns 30. World Cup 22 preview. The biggest tournament on the planet is coming, and there are plenty of reasons to root for Team USA as well as the other 31 teams. Let's go, kids! Midfielder Tyler Adams, midfielder Weston McKennie. Sports United States, when the World Cup kicks off in Qatar in November, it will mark the return to the sport's grandest stage for the United States men's national team. The Yanks memorably missed out on qualification in 2018, meaning they last played in the Cup in 2014 when many of the players on the current roster were in elementary school. The United States U.S. men national team is sending a historically young team to the Qatar. The average age of the lineups used in qualifying when the team was 7-3-4 and comfortably make the field was 23.83. That's nearly two full years less than the second youngest team in the tournament, Ghana, 25.67. Make no mistake, these kids can play. Midfielders Weston McKennie, age 24, Christian Pulisic, age 24, Tyler Adams, age 23, all toil for top European teams, and they bring an attacking flair the United States has long been missing. Coach Greg Berhalter knows how to handle them, being a disciplinarian when needed, but also bonding with players over things like a love of shoes, which he shares with 22-year-old forward Tim Way. "I just don't think it's about age," said Pulisic. "We have a hungry bunch of guys who are playing at top-level clubs across the world, and I think we can go in with confidence no matter our age." Root for Canada. If you are super chill, since the World Cup is being held in the desert, it was moved to the winter months. Canada clinched its berth at home in March. When there was snow on the field, but on the date of its last World Cup group match, December 1st, the low temperature back in Edmonton, the hometown of star winger Alphonso Davies, averages a bone-chilling 8.6 degrees. Davies isn't a complete stranger to warm weather, though. He was born in the African nation of Ghana before his family emigrated to Canada. Now the 22-year-old carries the hopes of the coolest team in the field. Qatar. If you like noobs, the hosts, who qualified automatically, are the only team in the tournament that is making its World Cup debut. Qatar is ranked just 50th in the world, but enters the competition with lofty expectations. Only the host nation, South Africa, in 2010, had failed to get past the first round of play. Iran. If you're into fast cats, the Asiatic cheetah is one of the rarest animals on the planet. There are believed to be around 100, all of which live in Iran. At the 2014 World Cup, Iran wore jerseys with a silhouette of the cat, which can run at speeds of up to 80 miles an hour. Alas, it didn't bring the squad much luck. Iran had one draw and two losses in group play. In 5 cup appearances, the team has won just 2 of 15 games. If you do decide to pull for Iran, keep this in mind. No matter how well things are going, don't give another fan the thumbs up sign. It's considered an obscene gesture in Iranian culture. Senegal. If you want to honor a guy, Sadio Mane is one of the best players in the world, but is even better off the pitch. He was presented with the inaugural Socrates Award at the Ballon d'Or ceremony for his charity work, including donating more than $1 million to help fund a school and a hospital in his home village. Costa Rica. If you enjoy being happy, in its most recent rankings, the Happy Planet Index named Costa Rica the happiest country on Earth. The survey considers things like life expectancy, well-being, and carbon footprint. Los Ticos might crash out of the tournament, but they and their fans will likely go out with smiles on their faces. England. If you thrive on drama, England has a way of finding itself in penalty kick shootouts at major tournaments, and they often don't end well. The Three Lions lost several of their first 8 before winning one at the 2018 World Cup when reverted to their old ways and lost the final of the European Championship in 2021 by missing their last 3 spot kicks. Mexico. If you'd wear a Yankees hat at Fenway Park, the United States has no greater rival than its neighbor, and said rivalry is not always friendly. In 2002, the United States bounced Mexico in the round of 16 in a game that featured 10 yellow cards, plus a red earned by Mexico's captain for a headbutt. Brazil. If you don't care for last names, Brazil, which has won a record 5 World Cups, has a long history of fielding players who are so good that they require only one name: Pelé, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Neymar, Fred. The next generation includes Anthony and Rodrigo. Belgium. If you appreciate passing, goal scorers get the glory. But great passers are what make the beautiful game so beautiful. And no one passes better than Kevin De Bruyne, who has 11 assists in 13 games for Man City. South Korea. If you're into giant killers, look out. Portugal. Your final group game is against South Korea, a team with a history of shattering the dreams of European powerhouses. At the 2018 Cup, it bounced Germany with a 2-0 win in the group finale. It was the first time the Germans, who were the reigning champs, were eliminated in the first round since 1938. Both South Korean goals came deep into stoppage time. The second was scored in the 96th minute by Son Heung-min Min, who was the co-top scorer last year in the Premier League for Tottenham Hotspur. Spain. If you want to make sure you see at least one big game, since teams are seeded for the group draw, it's rare to see juggernauts meet until the knockout stage. But on November 27th, Spain, the 2010 champ, will take on Germany, the 2014 winner, in the most anticipated first-round clash. Croatia. If you like chess, wonder where that ultra-cool checkerboard on Croatia's flags and jerseys come from. According to legend, in the 10th century, a Croatian king earned his freedom after being captured by beating a Venetian doge at chess. Wales. If you have an independent streak, making its first appearance since 1958, Wales is part of the United Kingdom along with England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, but all four insist on competing individually in football to preserve their national identities. Poland. If you dig a goal machine, he might not get as much attention as flashier strikers, but few in history have been more effective than Robert Lewandowski. Since 2008, he has scored more than 480 goals at the club level and added 75 more for Poland. At age 34, he's not slowing down. In his first 13 games this season for Barcelona, he scored 14 times. Ecuador. If you crave consistency, since it's located right on the equator, as its name implies, days in Ecuador hardly vary in length. The sun always rises around 6 a.m. and sets 12 hours later, so you'll always know what to expect. Uruguay. If you have a sense of history, the first World Cup was held in 1930 in Uruguay. Only 13 teams competed, and the host beat Argentina 4-2 in the final. The United States finished third. Uruguay, which added to its second title in 1950, remains a member of a very elite club. In 21 tournaments, only 8 nations have won the cup. The Netherlands. If you want to stand up for human rights, Qatar was awarded the right to host the World Cup in 2010 in a controversial decision. There were allegations that some FIFA members who determined the host were bribed. Other controversies included the host country's intolerance and the gross mistreatment of laborers used to construct venues. Few people in the sport have spoken up, but one notable exception is Netherlands coach Louis van Gaal. His team is talented enough to make a run deep into the tournament, which should keep Qatar's abominable human rights record in the spotlight. Argentina. If you're Team Messi for the better part of 2 decades, the most interesting debate in soccer has been centered on a single question, Messi or Ronaldo. Lionel Messi, the Argentinian wizard, is a master dribbler, passer, and goal scorer. Portugal's Cristiano Ronaldo is more physically imposing, but equally adept at making plays and putting the ball in the net. They've never met in a major international competition, but a fan can dream, right? Tunisia. If the force is with you, ever wanted to visit Tatooine? We're guessing the tickets to Luke Skywalker's old stomping grounds are pretty hard to come by, unless you know of a wormhole that will take you to a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. But maybe consider visiting Tunisia instead. Many scenes in A New Hope were filmed in the country's deserts, and they also provided backdrops in all 3 of the prequel movies. As for the country's chances on the field, we've got a bad feeling about this. Switzerland. If you have a sweet tooth, no country consumes more chocolate per person than Switzerland, and the nation's chocolate it produces, around 180,000 tons a year, is reputed to be the best in the world. How seriously do the Swiss take their favorite sweet? The country has a chocolate trade for enthusiasts. Japan. If you are a gearhead, let's face it, Japan has easily the coolest jerseys on display in Qatar. The crest features a mystical 3-legged bird, and the pattern on the blue shirt draws on birds made from origami, the Japanese art of paper folding. Even if the samurai blue get knocked out, they'll look nice doing it. And finally, on page 46, Australia. If you want your coach to have some guts in the tied all or nothing qualifying playoff, Socceroos manager Graham Arnold pulled goalkeeper Matthew Ryan in favor of Andrew Redmayne just before the penalty shootout began to psych out Peru. It worked. As Redmayne saved the deciding kick, even cooler, Ryan didn't get upset. hugging his teammate when it was over. Ghana. If you like an underdog, Ghana has had success in previous World Cups, including two wins over the United States and a trip to the quarterfinals in 2010, where they controversially lost to Uruguay when an international handball robbed them of the winning goal. But now the Black Stars, named for their flag, enter play in Qatar with the fewest FIFA World Rankings in the field, 61st. Denmark. If you're a sucker for heartwarming story, in the summer of 2021 at the European Championship, Denmark midfielder Christian Eriksen collapsed on the pitch. In a frightening scene, he nearly died. Not only has he recovered, but he's thriving. He scored just 2 minutes into his return to international play last March. Saudi Arabia. If you appreciate loyalty, fun fact about Saudi Arabia, which is making its 6th World Cup appearance, every player on the roster plies his trade in the Saudi Professional League. Interestingly, the manager of the national team, Herve Renard, is a native of France. The Green Eagles held the United States to a 0-0 draw in both teams' final pre-cup friendly. Cameroon. If you love a great nickname, the Indomitable Lions, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, lions are pretty fierce, but Indomitable Lions? Those are extra awesome. Indomitable means impossible to subdue or defeat, if it hasn't shown up on a vocab test lately. In 1990, Cameroon became the first African team to make the quarterfinals. Portugal. If you're Team Ronaldo, okay, back to this Ronaldo versus Messi thing. Yes, their respective resumes are nuts and their stats are mind-boggling, but neither has won a World Cup, and this could be the last chance for each. Messi, who won his only major international trophy at the 2021 Copa America, has announced this will be his last cup, though he also retired back in 2016. Ronaldo, who led Portugal to glory in the 2016 European Championship, hasn't said he's done with international football, but he'll be 41 when the next World Cup rolls around. So we'll respect the pressing question. Who you got? We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.